Let's Talk Books. And we're joined now by Diocesan School for Girls librarian and regular book reviewer, Catherine Ross. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, Jesse. Happy New Year.
And to you, how was your summer?
It was good. It was good. It was quiet. We were just in Auckland, so we chilled, went over to Waiheke, which was stunning for a couple of days. So hot. but yeah, very, very nice and just all healthy. So, you know, staying that way.
I was just wondering out loud earlier if you had any suggestions for parents trying to work out if a book is appropriate for their particular age child. Is there any, are there websites you can go to, or are you best just to have a bit of a read yourself?
No, absolutely. I mean, I know obviously that's part of my job is to read. If I feel like I'm putting a book into a student's hands and saying, I recommend this to you, I need to know what's in that book. But obviously, most people don't want to sit down and read their way through a huge amount of young adult fiction. So I would say the first thing is, if you're standing in a bookshop, you've got to make a snap decision, read the blurb and then flick through the pages. Mm. Maybe read the first couple of pages of each chapter and just see if you can see swear words, mentions of drugs, that sort of thing that might leap out at you. And if you've managed to pick those up in just a few flicks, then maybe it's not the right book if that's mm-hmm. what you're worried about. If you've got a bit more time, if your child's asked, can I read this book, or if you're looking for a specific book, hop online. There's so much information online, and there's one great website called Common Sense Media.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, so that has got a breakdown of, unfortunately, I find it doesn't have as many books as I would like. Like, a lot of the time I'm looking for a book, it's not on there. Maybe I would say...
Yeah, better for films, eh? Films and TV shows, probably.
It definitely is. They do books, but it's not quite as wide a coverage. Certainly, my blog, a little plug.
Yes.
But also, the other thing, of course, is that's what librarians are there for. Go and ask a librarian. We have a lot of knowledge. It's part of our jobs. We can say, where is your child at? What are they interested in? And we can take you to books that might be appropriate. And we keep trying. You know, the first one out of the door is not going to always be the right one. So you keep trying. But ask advice, because it is important. If you give the wrong book to the child at just that time, you could put them off reading. So, you know, it is important to try and match the right child with the right book, and it's a huge passion of mine. And, yeah, that is what I love to do. It's what most librarians love to do. And booksellers as well are pretty knowledgeable. But, yeah, if in doubt, internet. There's
great.
Always something on the internet.
And Catherine's blog is linked on our page. You've got some recommendations. Your favourite picks from the last year or so?
Yes, I thought I'd be a little bit self-indulgent this time.
Not
I apologise for that. But I thought I'll go back to my themes next time. But just my favourite books, or some of my favourite books from the ones that I read last year. So some of them are new, published in 2021. Others were just new to me. So the first one I wanted to talk about for ages 11 plus, so tweenies, is by Ross Welford. Ross Welford, I highly recommend him. He's an amazing author, very prolific for this age group. The first one I read, and probably still my favourite of his, is called What Not to Do If You Turn Invisible. He's got some great titles.
Yeah.
Titles are all like that. So this is about a 12-year-old girl called Ethel, and she's a bit of an outcast at school. It's not helped by the fact she's got quite bad acne, and, you know, children can be cruel and thoughtless. So in a desperate attempt to sort of heal her own acne, she decides to treat herself with a dodgy herbal acne medication purchased online, always a good thing to do, and overuse of a tanning bed. And this has the effect of turning her completely invisible, which I guess is a roundabout way of dealing with her acne. But so it does wear off. And after her initial kind of total panic about what she's going to do, she realizes actually there are obviously some potential benefits to invisibility. So she does it for various different reasons several more times. But on the third time, it starts to get longer and longer periods of invisibility and looks like it might be permanent. So although this has got a sort of science fiction-y bent to it, the actual story is just about two young people who consider themselves outcasts, don't quite fit in, forming a friendship. And it's also got this incredible story of her family secrets and mysteries that need to be revealed. So in actual fact, the whole science fictional side of it is actually sort of just the background story. And there's so much more going on. And he's wonderful at that. He's absolutely wonderful at creating these nuanced stories, but still totally accessible for sort of 10, 11-year-old readers.
Good one.
So, next one, another fantastic author, Alan Gratz, very prolific tween author. Again, I've spoken about him before. This is his latest offering, 2021, Ground Zero. So it's about September the 11th attacks. So it follows two timelines. So 2001, nine-year-old Brandon gets suspended from school and has to go to work with his dad. His dad works at Windows on the World, which is a restaurant on the 107th floor of the North Tower of the World Trade Center. Unfortunately for Brandon, the date is September the 11th. So 18 years later, on September the 11th, 2019, we follow 11-year-old Rashmina, who is living in a village in the mountains of Afghanistan. And she has only ever known war in her country, a war sort of built on revenge and retribution. But it's for an event that she, her community, her village, know nothing about and didn't even know happened. So this kind of juxtaposition of, repercussions. And I will say this is probably quite good for what you were talking about earlier with age ratings. So this is a very confronting book. It is very graphic. He's done an incredible, breathtaking amount of research. And there are some very triggering, difficult scenes in this book. But he has done it in a way that is accessible and readable. Yes, it will get children to talk about things and ask about things. But these are events, real events that happen, but to them, they've only ever seen it in news footage or heard about it as an historic event. And this will bring the reality home. And
yeah,
adults
love that.
Too. Yeah, it's for adults too. Those of us that sat watching these things, the world change in front of us. It's one of those books we should all read as well to kind of come back to those feelings and how we felt. So absolutely, very, very difficult book, but beautifully written and well written for this age group. So highly recommend it, even though it is a bit confronting.
Ground Zero by Alan Gratz. And of course, that was 20th anniversary last year.
Yes, it was. September 11th. He's taken several years to kind of put it together and think about it, and he wanted it published for the 20th anniversary. So.
Okay, for slightly older children, 12 plus?
Yep, so this is Ketchup Clouds, which is another the sort of one I did pick up because I thought, oh, that's an interesting title. But it's also, I picked it up because it's written by Annabelle Pitcher. Now, her debut novel was My Sister Lives on the Mantelpiece. If you've got children of about 10 and up and they haven't read this book, make them read it immediately. It is brilliant. But this is her follow-up novel, and it is just a little bit older. And brilliant. So this is a story that is told in letters written by a 15-year-old girl growing up in England to an inmate on death row in Texas. So the girl writes using an alias called Zoe, and she'd think that they don't have a lot in common, but Zoe feels like the inmate is the only person who can understand who she is, how she's feeling, and they are the only person to know what it's like to murder the person you really love.
Oh.
It's not as cut and dry as all that, but that's how she feels. So it's not a murder mystery. It's not a crime novel. It is a bewildering, beautiful, heart-wrenching story of first loves, growing up, hard choices, and just miscommunication and unintentional hurt and secrets. And it is a really interesting, unusual ending. It's not a happy ever after ending.
Yeah, interestingly, my daughter Hazel, who's just about to turn 11, has just started getting interested in books about murder.
Yep.
I think there's something innate, right? We love murder mysteries. I was surprised that her books were, starting to include dead bodies, but I guess it's just about that age.
It is there, and there's lots of good books that are written in a lighter way, but there's also lots and lots of murder mystery ones. They're hugely popular in the library, hugely popular. Monday's a Murder, Friday Barnes, Murder Most Unladylike, all of that sort of thing. So they don't dwell so much on the death and destruction. They dwell on the mystery and solving it.
That's Ketchup Clouds by Annabelle Pitcher.
Absolutely.
And if you've just tuned in, by the way, I'm talking to Catherine Ross, who's our book reviewer, mostly reviewing books for younger people, and she's got a blog with all her recommendations linked on our website. We're going a little older again.
Little older, so very quickly, Firekeeper's Daughter by Angeline Bouly. Now, this was published last year, 2021, and it was an absolute out-of-the-blue runaway success. And it was voted the best young adult novel on the Goodreads, which is a massive website. I would say that I purchased this for the library and read it myself before it was cool, when it was first published.
Yes, good.
So, trying to be a trendsetter.
Yeah.
So it is the story of a Native American, a girl growing up on a Native American reservation on the Canadian border. So it's told from that perspective, the Indigenous kind of voice coming through, because the author is Indigenous and from that culture herself. And it is about the story of the alcohol and the drugs on the reservation. But it's actually just a very interesting murder mystery novel. But it is written with great love and respect for the culture, but you can also hear the weariness and sadness from the author coming through about what is happening to her culture and her the people on the reservations. And that's really quite interesting as well, because you get the tribal language coming through throughout, which is just makes it interesting and different. Highly recommend that book. Probably a lot of people will have read it because it has been really popular.
Okay.
Okie doke. So very quickly, another one that I must feel like I must mention because it's got a fabulous title, The Smell of Other People's Houses.
That's so good.
It's fabulous. And again, I was like, this could be really interesting or truly disgusting, but it turned out to be quite good.
So it's such a good idea.
It is, yeah. It's set in Alaska in the 1970s, and it follows four teenagers and their journeys over one summer. And they all eventually interconnect. And they're all in quite vulnerable positions. They're all desperately in need of a change in their lives for one reason and another. And it's different because of its setting and its period. So it immediately becomes interesting and absorbing. The characters are very relatable, sympathetic, and there is also an Indigenous protagonist in this story as well. And it's interesting because of that time period that it's set in. They were obviously quite a strong culture, and it's at this time that they start getting sidelined and squeezed out and marginalized. So again, just interesting from that point of view. However, I will say that this story ends up in a very different place to where it started out. It takes a slightly mystical sort of turn, and which dilutes the importance of the sort of grittiness and the sadness of the character stories. But on the other hand, sometimes it's just nice to have a happy ending.
Yes.
Especially for kids.
You've got one more in the older age group, and this is YA, right? Yeah, go on.
Yep. Squeeze another one in. So I have said 16 plus, probably okay for a 14, 15-year-old, but it is a very, very dark, difficult subject matter. So I just wanted to emphasize that it is a maturer book.
Yeah.
So it's called The Female of the Species by Mindy McGuinness. It's another one published in 2016, so it's a little bit older. I liked it because this is the one that really sat with me after I'd finished reading it. I really kept thinking about it, mostly because the heroine is such an anti-hero. She's dark, she's disturbed, she's difficult, she's lacking a conscience. So basically, Alex is a senior in high school in a small town in America. She knows that there's a darkness and a difference inside her in the way she deals with the world and reacts to the world. So she actually keeps herself away from everybody. She shuts herself off. She doesn't make friends. But unfortunately, she is known by the whole town because she is the younger sister of a girl who was brutally murdered 3 years before. But her life suddenly changes when she, almost against her will, and certainly against her she acquires a best friend and a very handsome boyfriend. So she starts obviously putting herself out there, getting more involved in the culture of the school, and that brings her into direct conflict with the realities of small-town youth culture. And there is a lot around date rape, sexual abuse, violence against women. And Alex can't let wrongs go unpunished, and so that kind of leads to this massive and very sad showdown. And so the book is not for the faint-hearted, and people will go, anybody that actually reads it or reads around it will go, my goodness, why has she chosen this book? But the tragically flawed heroine, she's just trying to do the right thing for her friends, protect her friends in the only way she knows how and the only way that she can react to the world. And so it's complex, it's challenging, it's layered, it's thought-provoking, and it raises some real philosophical and ethical dilemmas. And it is unapologetically complex, and it does stay with you after it's finished. So I do recommend it to young women to read and think about and be aware of, because there's a lot of things in there that's happening in today's culture.
Thank you. Yeah.
A tough one, but definitely worth a read.
The Female of the Species, and that's more appropriate for 16 plus. There's some other recommendations there too from Catherine Ross. I really appreciate it, Catherine. Thank you so much. And we'll send people to your blog for more details and for those links and titles.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Jesse.